Check your political correctness at the door. It's time for the Kate Daly Show.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
Oh yes, the iconic You Can't Handle the Truth. Welcome to the Kate Daly Show today. I have Uncle Milty with me. We have Mel Madison joining us later. We got a full show today, and I just want to say hello to our first guest. In fact, I have been wanting Philip Patrick on for a while now, and I'm so pleased that he's with us, can I just say, from Birch Gold. Actually, he was born in London, earned a degree in politics and international relations degree at the prestigious University of Reading in Berkshire, England. You'll recognize the accent. Growing up in London, he saw the risks of government overreach and socialist policies firsthand. How are you, Philip?
I'm doing very well, Kate, and thank you so much for having me today.
Oh, absolutely. I can't wait to hear what you have to say. I know everyone's kind of on their edge of their seat. You know, we've got Iran news, we've got all kinds of news. We're in an election year, so we have a lot to talk about. And it seems like Congress has now passed the omnibus bill, okay, 6 months into the fiscal year. What is your take on the omnibus bill that was passed?
I mean, The short answer is a complete disaster. But look, you're right. Senate reached an agreement. It was a $1.2 trillion spending package. And as we've come to expect, just minutes before a midnight deadline, and it was officially signed into law by Biden. Now, you combine these two packages. Discretionary spending for the budget year is going to come to about $1.66 trillion. And we have to understand this is just discretionary spending. This doesn't include Social Security, Medicare, or even debt service payments, which will likely be the highest, the largest item in the budget this year. Discretionary spending accounts for about 27% of total government spending. Now, the concerning part is the budget largely tracks with an agreement that former Speaker McCarthy worked out with the White House back in May 2023, which restricted spending for 2 years and suspended the debt ceiling budget until 2025, which is just absurd, right? We have to remember McCarthy, we ousted him to prevent exactly this from reoccurring. And here we are again, another $1.7 trillion in debt. It's a complete and utter surrender. And it's just become outrageous at this point, Kate.
Oh, no wonder. No wonder. Every time they do this, I just, like you just said, heavy sigh. It's just, ugh. I'm the same way. Is a balanced budget even feasible at any point in our future?
You know, first of all, balancing, when we talk about balancing the budget, all that means is not going further into debt. It doesn't even begin to address this $34.6 trillion the nation already owns. But look, in answer to your question, it is feasible in theory. To balance the budget right now, Congress could cut discretionary spending to zero. Right? That means no funding for any government agencies, not defense, not agriculture, no FBI. That's going to balance the budget, right? Sure. Alternatively, Congress could raise income and corporate taxes by 50%. That would probably do the job too. But the reality is it's essentially impossible, right? We're not going to get reelected by promising constituents we're going to raise taxes or take away handouts. So what we get instead is this dog and pony show, lots of posturing, lots of hand waving, and ultimately another $1.7 trillion deficit. So it's feasible in theory, but not in reality. And I think it explains why the Fed right now are struggling to keep inflation under control. It's an impossible task for
Absolutely.
Them.
Uncle Milty?
I don't like the idea of cutting discretionary spending. I would probably lose my grant for my study on whether or not flies prefer dog poo or cow patties.
Stop it.
Well, I mean, it's a good point. And how could the world continue without that question being answered? That's the key.
So true. I mean, it's getting ridiculous. I mean, it's beyond ridiculous. That's not even a great word anymore. And so what do you feel when people bring up the word bankruptcy? Because we're not going to see this reverse. What are your first thoughts, Philip?
regarding the nation. I mean, if the nation was a corporation, mm-hmm. we would be bankrupt already, right? Mm-hmm. Everyone would be out the doors. It would be over. The game would be up. Mm-hmm. You know, we're in a unique position being the prime reserve currency. When we run out of money, we have the ability to just print it, create it out of thin air, meet our debt liabilities. But of course, it creates an impossible problem to solve longer term. And we're already pretty much at a point of no return. $34.6 trillion of debt. You do not pay by raising taxes and tightening the belt buckle. It's going to take a lot more than that. So we're in an impossible situation. Like I said, if we were a corporation, we'd be bankrupt already.
Well, amen to that. Let's turn to inflation for just a second. Where are we at right now? Where is it headed into this election year?
I'm very sad to say I don't have good news. Official headline inflation or CPI came in. I'm like the bearer of bad news at the moment since Biden has gotten in office. But official headline inflation, CPI, came in at 3.2% annualized in February. That was the last report. So an increase in headline inflation. Interestingly, the Fed pays very close attention to a subset of the data. It's called core services personal consumption expenditure, or core services PCE. Essentially, it includes housing, food services, insurance, and other things. That came in at 5.1% year over year, which is causing a real problem for the Fed. What it is a sign now that inflation has become entrenched, i.e. prices are not coming down anytime soon. And mm-hmm. the Fed now is in a tough position, right? They're cautious of raising interest rates because every time they do, something breaks, right? Look at when the banks failed early last year. That was on the back of the Fed raising interest rates. So now I think their idea is, let's leave interest rates where they are and hope that eventually prices will start to subside. Now, it's not a great plan, but it appears to be the best that they've got, especially since, you know, we keep seeing these $1.7 trillion federal deficits one after another. Mm-hmm. They're highly inflationary, and it's almost like the federal government and the Federal Reserve are locked in this arm wrestle over the dollar's value. We've got the Fed trying to keep it higher with elevated interest rates. Then we've got the White House pushing these massive, you know, deficits, mm-hmm. which are ultimately inflationary. So it's a really tough situation, and it's not one that I see a solution to shorter term, certainly not with Biden at the helm.
Yeah, I agree. Does this explain why gold's price recently hit another record? So we're at $2,200 per ounce. And how much of that is due to the dollar's decline? Is it a bad time to buy gold, a good time to buy gold? What's your assessment?
Look, I think it's a very good time to buy gold for a lot of the reasons that we've talked about. But I want to address one point. Mm-hmm. You know, adjusted for inflation, we're way off the all-time high for gold. So the all-time high for gold is really in January 1980. Gold hit $850 an ounce. We adjust that to inflation, that would be $3,300 today. So, you know, in nominal terms, we're at record highs, but in real terms, gold would have to rise another 50% to set a new record in terms of actual value.
That's a great point.
In answer to your question, dollar devaluation is certainly driving gold's price up, and you can see it in the numbers, right? So mm-hmm. gold and the dollar have an inverse relationship, which is why people buy gold in these climates. And guess what? The dollar's down 17% since January of 2021. Gold is up the exact same amount in the exact same time period, and it's no coincidence. So dollar devaluation is absolutely driving gold's price. But there are other factors to consider as well, demand being a big one, right? Central mm-hmm. banks, gold buying has shattered records over the last couple of years. 2022 was the single biggest year in history for central bank gold buying. 2023 came in 4% less, but it was the single biggest year for gold purchasing in general, with individual investors bridging that gap. And the reality is, Kate, central bankers are facing the same challenges that we are: economic uncertainty, inflation, and a loss of purchasing power. And they're diversifying their assets with a time-tested safe haven store of value. And that's what gold provides. And I always say to people, look, what it applies to banks, to large institution, also applies to us, just at a much smaller scale. So a lot of scope for movement in gold, and I think a very good time for people to start looking.
Absolutely, and great points too. And so what are the elites doing? Stockpiling gold?
Stockpiling gold. So
yes.
Look, you always follow the smart money, and central bank money is about the smartest out there, particularly when it comes to currency.
What about silver? What's going on with silver?
Silver's a great buy too. It's different, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, silver's has monetary uses as well as industrial. The thing about silver today is its price heavily undervalued relative to gold. Industrial demand is growing for it. Things like solar technology, electric cars use it, and supply is shrinking. So I see gold as your wealth preserver, you know, preserving buying power, hedging against dollar decline. Silver's that longer term growth play, benefiting from real value from a pricing standpoint and raising demand. So I think people look to diversify between the two, but it's about addressing, you know, an individual customer's needs.
Absolutely. You had a chat with Dr. Ron Paul too, who's been on the show many times, and talking about the federal government is already confiscating wealth, and we're seeing this in every way possible. And so we need to vary what we've got out there. We know digital currency is coming in. Did you want to comment on that? I mean, it's taking all of these steps that we keep reporting on. So the tracks are being laid.
The tracks are being laid. I think, you know, digital currency will be in our future forever.
Yeah.
It's early days. I mean, it's not early. I mean, we understand them quite well now. I think governments will look to move into those spaces, right? I think it's going to be a tough sell today, so they're going to have to sort of get the public ready. And I think devaluation of the existing currency, the government stepping in with a solution, provides that catalyst. So I think it's an interesting space. I think we'll see digital currencies maintained, but I also think it's a space governments are looking at very, very closely. And like I said, to sell that concept, the people are going to need pain to accept a change like that. And I think that's where currency devaluation comes in. And I think that's where gold comes in, because the lower currency gets, the higher gold prices go.
So we need to shore up what we have. Philip Patrick, thank you for coming on. Really appreciate you. Birch Gold, get over to Birch Gold and get everything you have backed with gold. Get it solidified right now. I think these are the times in which we have the options that we have. I don't know how long we'll have those options. So I think that people need to do what they can right now. So I appreciate you. Thank you, Philip Patrick. Thanks so much for joining us. And of course, we'll be right back on the Kate Daly Show. Don't go anywhere.